free online Bible course. You only pay for your textbooks. CTU provides the rest. Go to conservative.edu for more info. Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day, with the goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on three regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is also heard on these three stations in Jacksonville, Florida, St. Augustine, Florida, and Brunswick, Georgia. Now there's a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. Your help is needed to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is crucial to take the next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com or to send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258, Attention Radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, again, thank you for joining in the broadcast today. Looking forward to hearing from you, your position, your thoughts, your questions, your comments in relationship to the issue that we're speaking on today. That issue simply is, was Peter, that is the Apostle Peter, one of the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, was he the first Catholic Pope? I'm looking at an article headline says, was St. Peter the first Pope? The Roman Catholic Church sees Peter as the first pope upon whom God has chosen to build his church. And again, they use Matthew 16:18. It holds that he had the authority, the primacy, over the other apostles. The Roman Catholic Church maintains that someone after the recorded events, sometimes after the recorded events of the book of Acts, the Apostle Peter became the first bishop of Rome, and that the Roman bishop was accepted by early Christian church as being the central authority among all the other churches. It teaches that God possessed Peter's, passed Peter's apostolic authority to others who later filled his seat as the bishop of Rome. This teaching that God passed on Peter's apostolic authority to the subsequent bishops is referred to as apostolic succession. Roman Catholic Church also holds that Peter and the subsequent popes were and are infallible when addressing issues ex cathedra. For their position, ex cathedra means they're speaking directly from God. When an encyclical is given by the Pope, it means that this is directly from God, verbatim. So what does that do, ladies and gentlemen? That takes the words of man and the what is called the encyclicals, as he speaks ex cathedra, he's speaking for God, that put in print then takes precedence over the Word of God. It is, you can't, a dogmatic Catholic cannot say, I believe in the Word of God, and at the same time have another book overlaying and taking precedence and making the Bible subsequent to the other writings, rather than the Word of God being first, foremost, and final. It's an impossibility. All religions that were founded by a man, a woman, a human being, do the very same thing. They take their writings, their books, and supposedly where God has spoken to them. That's where the Quran comes in today, because Muhammad said that the angel Gabriel had spoken to him when he was hiding away in a cave. He wrote down the words, supposedly, yet it was discovered that Muhammad was illiterate, could not read, could not write, but yet supposedly he wrote down what Gabriel had told him. Even when he came in and told his wife, Khadija, that the angel had spoken to him, and this is what was said, she said that it was, he admitted that he thought it was demon speaking and not anything from God. She said, you can't say that. If you say that, others will reject you, etc., etc., etc. Ladies and gentlemen, it's the same approach. The Book of Mormon is the same way. Came from, quote, the Salamander letters and became written down as being from God. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about asking the question, trying to resolve, was Peter the first pope? this goes on to say in this writing, but while Peter was central in the early spread of the gospel, part of the meaning behind Matthew 16:18, the teaching of Scripture, taken in context, nowhere declares that he was an authority over the other apostles or over the church or having primacy over it. And it goes with the scripture after scripture after scripture time. If we were in a hour-by-hour Bible study, it'd be different. But Acts chapter 15, verse 1 through 23, Galatians 2, 1 through 14, 1 Peter 5, 1 through 5. Nor is it ever taught in Scripture that the bishop of Rome or any bishop was to have primacy over the church. Scripture does not even explicitly record Peter as ever having been to Rome. You hear what I said? There's no biblical authority, no biblical evidence that Simon Peter was ever in Rome, contrary to what is taught in the Roman Catholic dogma that says otherwise. I'm looking at a headline. Did the early church believe that Simon Peter was the first pope? It goes on to talk about is there any historical evidence from A.D. 100 to 200 A.D. that the early church held the papacy? In 606, Boniface III became pope. Goes on to talk about by imperial decree of the Roman government proclaimed him as the head of all the churches and the universal bishop. Ladies and gentlemen, that wasn't until 606. Peter, keep in mind now, died approximately 67-68 A.D. This writer goes on to say this. The Bishop of Rome takes the title Universal Bishop. The papacy has developed it into its final evolution by that time. The official use of the title Pope as given to the bishops of Rome did not come into effect until Pope Gregory, 1073-85. Ladies and gentlemen, the term Pope is a, for all intents and purposes, if I can do this, all intents and purposes, the term Pope is a kind of modern terminology. The first century churches did not know that. The first century Christians did not have any idea that Peter was had primacy over the entire church. In fact, in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 25, Peter himself makes this statement. For ye were as sheep gone astray, but now return unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls, speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, Peter would not have said that if he was supposedly the bishop, if you will, if he was the, from the standpoint of it being one that's having primacy over the other Christians in that era. It's not so at all. This article reads this, which is a pretty powerful statement. The title Pope was therefore applied posthumously from Peter on. In other words, at the time the term Pope was finalized as being a term, which according to this writer, historian, was not until Pope Gregory the VII, then they went back and, if you please, retitled all of them as being Pope, including Peter as being called Pope with no evidence in fact whatsoever. This article reads, Peter nowhere claims supremacy over the other apostles. Nowhere in his writings in 1st and 2nd Peter did the apostle Peter claim any special role, any special authority, any special power over the church. Nowhere in Scripture does Peter or any other apostle state that their apostolic authority would be passed on to successors. Yes, the apostle Peter had a leadership role with the disciples. Yes, Peter played a critical role in the early spread of the gospel. However, these truths about Peter in no way gives any support whatsoever to the concept that Peter was the first pope or that he was the supreme leader over the apostles or that his authority would be passed on to the bishops of Rome. Peter himself points all of us to the true shepherd over our souls as the overseer of the church, that is the Lord Jesus Christ. I can say amen to that. Ladies and gentlemen, why is it so important? Why is it important to understand this? Ladies and gentlemen, listen very carefully. Jesus is the one that is over the true church. He is the chief shepherd. Every pastor that is placed in authority in a local New Testament church is the under-shepherd. with no supremacy to take the stand and say, you've got to go through me or a particular denomination or particular church. And yet in Roman Catholicism today, the Pope speaks as he does ex cathedra. That's speaking as the mouthpiece of God. I get a little disappointed with any pastor, preacher that will say, God told me to tell you so-and-so. God's not going to tell me to tell you anything. His word will tell you all you need to know and all you need to hear. God's word is what's needed today, and not coming through some mouthpiece that supposedly is the final authority over what is said and done. It's an impossibility. I'm looking at another article. When was the formal title of Pope first officially bestowed on the bishops of Rome? And it goes on to give individual after individual after individual the date and the time and the place. For example, some of these dates, 418 to 22, 417 to 418, 401, that's A.D., to 17, and goes on to say that, says, however, this writer says, however, I read elsewhere that Pope Damascus was the title of Supreme Pontiff, was established in 380 for the first time. Yet, I understand Catholics say that St. Miletus was named Pope in July the 2nd, 311, and then another one in 304, also called Pope. This writer says, I'm just confused as to when the title Pope was bestowed, but it certainly was not reciprocity. Ladies and gentlemen, the bottom line is we're believing a fake phone. And why is it so important? Listen, if an entire religious order is built on a lie, is built on a premise that it's founded out of the Word of God because of Peter being the first pope, we have a problem. We have no biblical evidence, no historical evidence whatsoever that Peter was ever in Rome. And as I said a moment ago, AD 67, 68 is when Simon Peter passed away, when he died. Ladies and gentlemen, prior to this time, it was not called Roman Catholicism. Listen, most are not aware of this. It was not always Roman Catholicism. It was known by Christian theologians and historians as Mariology or Popery, not Roman Catholicism. I'm looking at a major article. It's out of what is called the Berean Call, and it's a very, very in-depth study. It's April 2025 article, and it says, unchallengeable and mandatory teachings comes from cult headquarters, whether it is Jehovah's Witnesses, Watchtower, Bible and Tract Society, New York, Mormonism's First Presidency of Salt Lake City, the Christian Science Monitor in Boston, or the Catholic Pope and Bishop of Rome, Bishops of Rome. Yes, the Roman Catholic Church, like any cult, denies its members the right to know and understand the Bible for themselves. No Catholic may be a Berean Christian. That's talking about Acts 17:12, where the Berean Christian said, search the Scripture to see if it be so. I tell people anytime, anywhere, when I'm preaching, when I'm teaching, or when you're listening to someone else preaching and teaching, search the Scripture. See if in context, if that is what the Bible is saying. Many will pluck a verse out of context. Many will take a phrase out of a verse and then build a doctrine, a theology on that. Search the Scripture to see if it be true. Search the Scripture to see if what they're saying is factually biblical or if it is not. This writer goes on to say, for example, Vatican II dogmatically declares that the task of giving an authentic interpretation of the Word of God has been entrusted to the teachings in the office of the Church alone. Catholic apologist Carl Keating writes, The Catholic believes in inspiration of Scripture because the Church tells him so, and the same Church has the sole authority to interpret the inspired text and not the individual. Roman Catholic apologists are holding seminars and debates around the country to deny that anyone may be a Berean Christian. Typical are the following remarks of one such conference by a priest. Quote, the outlook of Roman Catholicism is diametrically opposed to the fundamentalist, Because a Roman Catholic, as Roman Catholics, we do not start with the Bible. We start with the church. Augustine, that Saint Augustine, reportedly said, I would not believe in the gospel if the authority of the Catholic Church did not vest that to me. End quote. Ladies and gentlemen, we are in a deep, deep, deep position of apostasy. If we believe that somehow, some way, the Holy Spirit of God cannot speak individually to a person and guide them through the scripture. And now, one of the things, and perhaps you've heard me say this, I've said it from the pulpit. In 2022, now here's the Pope, he died in 2025. But in 2022, he said that he talked with Mary. We're talking about now Mary, the mother of Jesus. He talked with Mary. Mary told him where he needs to be buried. I'm looking at the headline. Mary told me, prepare your tomb. Pope Francis originally planned to be buried in St. Peter's Basilica. Changed to St. Mary Major in 2022. The cardinal stewarding St. Mary Major Basilica, where Pope Francis will be buried, or was buried, revealed this week that the pontiff initially intended to be buried in St. Peter's Basilica, but changed his mind in 2022, saying Our Lady had inspired him. The Holy Father was known for his devotion to Mary, which is housed in the St. Mary Basilica. He would pray before Mary every time he was set to go on an international apostolic trip, and every time he returned. The Pope said to the Cardinal on the telephone at that time, Mary told me to prepare your tomb. I'm very glad that Mary didn't forget me. Ladies and gentlemen, when you have the leader of a global religious organization with 1.4 billion followers, and you're following the, quote, voice of Mary and not Jesus, and somehow, some way, Mary can speak to you from the tomb and give you directions, inspiration as to where to be buried and how to live your life. Ladies and gentlemen, it's a sad state of affairs where we live in a society where we have the cultism as we find today. It is a sad scenario to know, ladies and gentlemen, that 1.4 billion people follow a false religion. You say, well, that hurts my feelings. Well, ladies and gentlemen, it's not your feelings I'm concerned about. It's your relationship to Jesus Christ. It's your eternal security that I'm concerned about. You can't pray to Mary and somehow, some way, get forgiveness of sin. The scripture is very, very clear, ladies and gentlemen, what the Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, and that is the man Christ Jesus. Now, ladies and gentlemen, the Bible didn't say the mediator is Mary, but the mediator is Christ Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ. When we come to God the Father through God the Son, and that is the mediator between man and God. It is the man, Christ Jesus. And when we think about an organization called Roman Catholicism, where this recently passed Pope Francis, Pope, believed that sin is okay. Listen, Pope Francis said that if you're homosexual, it's not sin. God created you that way. Pope Francis embraced the LGBTQ sodomite agenda and said that if you rejected that, it was sin. In fact, ladies and gentlemen, you perhaps are aware of the fact that in Genesis chapter 19, God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah and all the plains, the scripture says, that's the little smaller towns round about, because of the sodomite lifestyle. In Romans chapter 1, verse 18 through 32, the Bible is very, very clear that God turned them over, the ones that are the sodomite lifestyle, to a reprobate mind. And you can take a bishop, pope, that's the head of the religious organization that claims to be Christ-centered and on the way to heaven, that embraces that and says it's okay. Ladies and gentlemen, there's a problem with that. I'm looking at headlines that Pope Francis championed historically progressive stances. Listen, his background was communism. socialism and communism. Socialism, by the way, is communism light. He didn't change his political stripe when he was designated pope. He didn't change his political position when he was designated pope. He, in fact, chided President Trump that if you push to have the wall built at the southern border of America, that that's sin, that all these poor people need to come in and have a place that they could call home in America. Pope Francis said, ladies and gentlemen, that global warming, climate change, should be blamed on the industrialized nations, and it is sin if they do not stop the climate change. Looking at the headline of this, says, Pope Francis advanced several progressive causes within the Catholic Church, from immigration to LGBTQ rights to climate change and a technology ethic. He advocated his advocacy often clashed with the church's more conservative wing. Francis aimed to give women more leadership role in the church. By the way, he had started breaking down the barriers, saying that the priests and bishops could be married on limited occasion. They could be married. He, rather than having it so that it was just the bishops and the priests being men as being, quote, head of the church, it was also given to women. This article says Francis was outspoken against climate change and cast blame on wealthy countries for global warming. Francis in 2015 called pollution a sin and cited moral obligation for international agreement. In fact, ladies and gentlemen, the last 5 or 6 years of Pope Francis' position of leadership, he had been globetrotting around the globe, trying to put together agreements with Islam, Hinduism, Buddhism, etc., etc., for a coming together, an amalgamation of all the religions of the world. And when you study the scripture and you realize, ladies and gentlemen, according to Revelation chapter 17, that after the rapture of the church, which could happen at any moment, after the rapture of the church, the residuum of all denominations will come together and be domiciled out of the city on seven hills, which any historian will tell you is speaking about Rome. Ladies and gentlemen, we need not to brush it under the rug. We need not try to minusculize it, but we're dealing with a major, major, major scenario where Roman Catholicism today is deceiving billions of people into believing that they're all right and their soul will go to heaven if they die. I'm looking at a headline. This writer says, in the 12 years since Cardinal George Mario was elected Pope Francis, on March 13, 2013, we've witnessed a rapid expansion, and that was his name, real name, not his taken name as Pope, was George Mario Borgales. Rapid expansion of the LGBTQ agenda. When a reporter posed a question about gay priests, the newly appointed pope quipped, "If a person is gay and seeks God and has goodwill, who am I to judge him?" More and more, the LGBTQ Christians continue to come out and find it home in the body of Christ, he said. I believe Pope Francis had some impact on these changes, according to that particular writer. Here's one. All faiths lead to heaven. Pope Francis calls for religious unity around the world and across the globe. Pope Francis said in one of his speeches, Islam, Buddhism, Confucianism, Hinduism, Catholicism, Protestantism, makes no difference. All are going to, as the different path to go to heaven. Everyone will go to heaven, he said. The Pope joined an Indonesian Grand Imam. That is Islam, ladies and gentlemen, in singing a joint declaration that points out two serious crises facing the world, dehumanization and climate change. The statement declared that religion should include promoting and safeguarding the dignity of every human life. Some of the statements made sounded good, but ladies and gentlemen, we can't sit here today and say that if you believe in Roman Catholicism, if you are a practicing Roman Catholic, it's an impossibility to sit and say everything is all right and you're on your way to heaven. So what is the answer? How should what? As Ezekiel said in Ezekiel 33:10, how should we then live? What should be your understanding and focus. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to study the Word, know the Word, believe the Word, depend upon the Word as the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. It's not a matter of it being sifted through a religious dogma and a religious leader, whoever it may be. But especially when it comes to Roman Catholicism and the lie that it is built upon that Peter was the first pope. It's an impossibility. That is fabrication. That is totally unreal and untrue. And ladies and gentlemen, if you start with an organization built on a lie, how can you then believe anything else that is said? It's like if a parent teaches a child that Easter bunny, the bunny rabbit, Easter eggs and jelly beans are symbols of Easter, the resurrection of Christ. That child grows up and realizes he's been lied to. He's not going to believe anything that you tell him. If that child is told that Santa Claus is going to come and leave presents under the tree, and you've got to leave a glass of milk and a cookie for Santa Claus, if you teach that child that the birth of Christ is symbolized in Santa Claus, when that child grows to an understanding and sees that that's a lie, what else will he believe? If an individual is told that the Pope is infallible, that the Pope is the mouthpiece of God, that the Pope speaks ex cathedra, that is, whatever the Pope says is from God. If the Pope can say that it's from God, it's written down, it becomes an encyclical that's signed by the Pope, it takes precedence over the Word of God, and ladies and gentlemen, it becomes humanism, it becomes traditionalism, it becomes a religious dogma, and not the Word of God. You realize, ladies and gentlemen, for centuries, the Christian, the average Joe in the Catholic Church was not allowed to have the Bible in his hand. The Bible was chained for centuries to the pulpit in the Catholic Church where the average person, because the mindset from Catholicism then, even today, even though it's not spoken that way, is that the average person is too dumb, too ignorant, has too much inability, too great of an inability. He cannot read the Bible and understand the Bible. Therefore, it has to be filtered through the mouth of the priest and the bishops. And ladies and gentlemen, that's simply not so. We're charged with the responsibility as Christians to place our faith and trust in God through the Lordship of Jesus Christ and the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. Simply put, the Pope is not infallible. Simply put, he is human. Simply put, the first Pope was not the Apostle Peter, and the Gospel according to the Scripture is not taught in Catholicism. For most part, it's another Gospel, a different Gospel. So, ladies and gentlemen, I challenge you with the final statement. You need to say yes to Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord. Let the work of the Holy Spirit illumine your eyes and your heart as you study the Word. Thank you for joining us today. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida. Located 1 mile south of I-295, FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 10, for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited to worship with First Conservative Baptist Church. A reminder, CTU is now enrolling students for next semester. Ask about first semester scholarships. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE. Tune in tonight at 11 for a replay of today's Let's Face the Issues broadcast on WBOB AM 600 and 101.1 FM. What happened?